and good day once again, loyal listeners. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, broadcasting via our esteemed website, WWGH1071.com. Whether you're in Marion, somewhere else in the Buckeye State, in California, Maine, Illinois, or even maybe somewhere in South America. But we're going to take a trip across the Northern Hemisphere to the United Kingdom to my microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, and again, most importantly, partner in crime and brother in humor, Mr. Nick C.J. In Wales, in the United Kingdom, we have topics to talk about, opinions to provide, and of course, if you don't laugh at least a few times, and possibly even utter a few adult language tidbits at your listening device during this program, and we probably have not gotten intense enough, but that's not normally a problem. We get together, we talk about stuff, and we learn something. We enjoy the broadcasting interlude, and most importantly, appreciate you folks listening. Invite you to email us. Email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. And goodness sakes, I'm rambling once again. So Nick CJ, sign in, please. And how are things out there in the United Kingdom?
Things are good here, actually. The weather has changed, so that's nice. It's we've had some pretty horrid weather, not as bad as it's been around the world, but it's been pretty bad. We've got, as usual, political unrest, and our new king is poorly. So that's been bad news this last week.
Yeah, we will just discuss that. We don't like to have to discuss unfortunate stories, but I think this is necessary. And again, being in the United Kingdom, you're someone who can provide information that I think will be useful. Now, we've heard that King Charles, who recently became king, has medical issues. What is the general opinion there, Nick, in the United Kingdom? King Charles is very popular, known for a sense of humor, being a down-to-earth kind of a guy. A good ruler, knows what he can accomplish, and absolutely loves his nation. What is the general feeling, and what is the outlook? What can you add as a British person?
Well, we were all very shocked, obviously, because he went in for a simple prostate examination. All you guys over 50, don't forget to get a regular prostate examination. And when he went for that, they found something else. So they were doing his examination in a small op, apparently, and then they found something else, but they haven't disclosed what it is. And he's just left public view for a little while. His son William has taken over most of his roles, but his wife Kate has been poorly for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and she's not been seen publicly for 2 or 3 weeks since she had an operation. So it seems to be operations all round at the moment.
I guess I'd heard that Harry, again also known as Henry, we kind of discussed that last time. He did meet with his father. I'm not sure about meeting with his brother. Of course, he's not always thought of in the high regard. Has that changed at all? And do you think he might be kind of going back into royal duties? I heard he wants to move to California with his wife. So is there an update on that member of the family also?
There are hints that he might be coming back into the... there are hints from his side that he might be coming back into royal duties. But there are the opposite to hints from the royal family saying... No, he isn't. So I think he's blotted his copybook, as we say in the UK.
Speaking with Nick CJ here on the Adam the Computer Guy, mid-morning coffee break, radio extravaganza here on WGH Talk Radio, starting with the health of King Charles, certainly a negative, upsetting story. We wish him the best. guess we'll just have to take a wait and see attitude, Nick. That's the best thing to do. But William, his firstborn son, is increasing his own duties and remains controversy with Prince Harry. I guess that's probably the most succinct way to sum that up. We're going to cover some technology news and, of course, provide our opinion and obligatory humor. But I wanted to cover another story, Nick, from your land. This comes from the FoxNews.com headlines, and not sure if you had seen this story. If you have, let me know, because I'm sure you have an opinion about it, just like I do. You're wondering, of course, what is the story? London mayor under fire for reportedly snubbing Queen statue in favor of art celebrating transgender prostitutes. Did you happen to come across that story, Nick?
Sorry. No, I haven't come across that one. I've never come across a transgender prostitute, to be honest. It's, that does sound pretty, you know, end of the spectrum, I think. But I presume they're out there.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. Again, laughter is the best medicine, and I don't know how to react to this. And again, Queen Elizabeth served a very long time, and again, I can't say I'm an expert on the Queen, but certainly she was popular, and like any member of the royal family, had some controversy, but is well-loved, and will be remembered for a very, very long time. Now, Mayor Sadiq Khan, Labour Party member of the largest city in the United Kingdom and one of the largest cities in the world, London, has approved £1 million, which is $1.2 million, to fund fourth plinth installations in the city's famed Trafalgar Square for 2026 and 2028. The plinth has long been used to showcase contemporary art installations, and Londoners had anticipated a statue of the late Queen to be installed following her death in 2022. But again, this year, again, according to this Fox News story, the London government's website shows an installation featuring the, quote, faces of 850 trans people, most of whom are sex workers, to be erected on the plinth this August. It will remain in place for 6 months, reported by Express and GB News. Now, again, we can't help giggle a bit, Nick. Do you feel that was inappropriate by this mayor? He certainly has controversies of his own. Any thoughts you'd like to add to that story?
He is controversy personified. I mean, he is astonishing, the things that he comes up with and does. We've now got probably, as you're probably aware, he's a Muslim mayor, and we now have about, I think it's 13 mayors of different UK cities that are now Muslim in a largely Christian country. So it's its own sort of controversy there, and he likes to do things that will provoke, I think. He's very big on green issues. He's the one that's introduced cameras to charge us if we drive into town. I've just changed my works van to a new one, which is greener. I've had to do it because it would cost me £12 every time I went into the nearest city. So, yeah, it's crazy, some of the things that he comes up with. And he's not worried about controversy.
So you would be of the opinion that this was not an appropriate thing to do. It's disrespectful to the Queen, and we want to honor and welcome all people. That's great. But there is a time and place for different types of honors. That kind of sum up.
Yeah. It's known for its art installations, because there are the lions on the other plinths. And I'm just looking at a few now on the web, and there's one which is that was on there, that was a big blob of cream with a giant cherry on top, and then a wasp and a drone that looked like a wasp. So it was a sort of comment on drones, really. We did have one a few years ago to celebrate a very famous artist that we've got in the UK, who is a thalidomide lady with very tiny arms and legs. And she had a nude statue put up there of her. And that was controversial, but also a statement, you know, on acceptance. But I'm not sure about this. The trans thing is going over the top a little bit in the UK. I don't know about the USA, but we've now got something like 27 different genders in the UK, apparently.
Yeah, not much different here in the colonies, Nick. But for those who are wondering, yes, I'm a guy, man, dude, boy, XY, if you want to be more scientific. Pick one. They're all accurate. I don't really care. Just keep in mind, Adam is a dude, and Adam believes that we have dudes and dudettes, or women, girls, ladies, females, YY. Now, you can have a different chromosome combination. It's not common, but if you have one or more Y chromosomes, you are a guy. So that's how I feel, and if listeners don't agree, please send me an email. We love to hear your opinion. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. If we all agreed on everything, the world would be a pretty boring place. And since we don't agree on everything, the world is not very boring right now. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Now, Mayor Sadiq Khan, Nick, is a member of the Labor Party. And that would be somewhat like the Democratic Party here in the States. It's a more left-leaning ideology.
Yep. Correct.
And we talked about your parliament, which is like our Congress here and the prime minister on the last show and on previous shows. What is the system with parties in the UK? And, you know, I'm an independent. I lean right on some things, left on others, and kind of hard to say because I do change my mind on some issues like gun control. But there are things, again, like the aforementioned how many genders are there question that I can assure you I will stand firm on, always have, and I would say always will. Are there a lot of people like myself that are kind of independent and don't really like to align with one party, or is it more where you're to the left or to the right? And what's the equivalent or the similar party to the conservative or Republican ideology in the UK?
Well, the funny thing is that we were liberals for many, many, many years pre-war. We were a liberal country and liberal government. But we've had this conservative Labour thing going on for 50 years, as long as I know anyway. You know, it just seemed to be Labour are out, and then the Conservatives come in and boost the economy, do various things to get things going. Then they do their tenure, which might be 3 years, which is our normal term, is 3 years. I think the Conservatives have been in for 14 years at the moment. So it is liable to change, because it always does. People get fed up with the same. So Labour will come in with promises of wealth and wealth for all. That's the difference, rather than wealth for wealthy. Wealth for all, and everything will be boosted. Our failing NHS system will be better. Everything will work better. But basically, they will spend taxes to do that. And the last time Labour were in, the big joke was, which was 14 years ago, when they left, their Chancellor of the Exchequer, who is the head of the Treasury, you've probably got an equivalent there, left a note in the safe at number 10 saying, "Sorry, the money's all gone," which they thought was a joke. But obviously, when the Conservatives published this and actually put a photocopy of it on the TV, everybody was horrified. And I think that's why the Conservatives have been in for 14 years now.
I would imagine, too, that like here, there are people like myself that may seem to the left on some issues, to the right on others. Unless you're running for a high office, you certainly can have your own beliefs and not really ascribe to a particular party. But the London mayor, Mayor Khan, and again, London, one of the largest cities in the world, is quite a bit to the left. And is that unusual for London? Is it kind of like it is here in the States, where the larger cities tend to be more liberal? Or are there exceptions? Are there any large cities in the UK where the politics are a bit more to the right than you might expect?
It's very strange that we should have a big Labour politician in as the mayor in London, when the mayor before him was Boris Johnson, who was a Conservative and was in for a long time and brought some wonderful changes to London. We had what were called the Boris bikes, bicycles that you could pick up anywhere and drop off anywhere, automatically charged via credit card and the internet and things. So Sadiq Khan has been the opposite of the government that's been ruling while he's been there. And he likes to try to put spanners in the works and go against things that the government want and decry the government. And I think it's always very difficult if you're local politicians, local people running local areas, are the opposite of the major politicians. So we've been run by the Conservatives for 14 years. In Wales, where I live, we have had a Labour government because we've got our own independent government. And that's been a Labour government for 14 years. They're the clever government that about 2 months ago introduced a 20 miles an hour speed limit in all built up areas from 30 miles an hour. So they're very popular at the moment with the Welsh people.
Adam here on The Talking Place, speaking with Wales resident Mr. Nick CJ about some politics and news and views from that side of the world. And as I mentioned, we're both IT people. We're going to talk about some tech issues. I'm going to keep whetting your appetite as we approach that segment of this broadcast. And last question, Nick, I don't think when we talked a few weeks ago, we brought this up. The support of the Ukraine by the United States government is a very controversial issue. Some people say give as much as they want, a blank check. Some say give none, and say some give a reasonable amount because we got enough problems here, especially with our own border. That would be consistent, I think, with my feeling. There are those who feel that supporting the Ukraine exacerbates the war and it's never going to end. I would also be of that school of thought. If you don't mind telling us, Nick, what is your view on that? And what is the general view in the UK about the Ukraine and Russian war and the United States support of it?
I'm pro the support, and I was pro the Americans supporting it. The thought that Putin, who has been in for 2 decades, they quoted today, so he's been in for 20 years, and apparently he's got his daughter groomed, ready to take over from him. So that's not a politician or a prime minister or a president. That is just a dictator, isn't it? Somebody that's been in for 20 years with no voting in or out or no choice of the populace. We've just had the death is a big thing here of the guy that was against him. I think it was Livchenko. No, it wasn't. That was the original one. He's just died in the last couple of days in Siberia. And anybody that puts flowers on his memorial, they cart them off to jail. They've arrested 300 already in Russia. So, you know, Russia has got to be pulled up. And I think the only people who are doing it at the moment are the Ukrainians. And that's because he wants to take over the Ukraine. I mean, once he takes over the Ukraine, will he then take over Poland? And we're back to a World War II type scenario with Adolf Hitler, where you have to call a line and say, if you cross over that line, then we are at full-blown world war.
Do you think that the Biden administration, Nick, is essentially writing a blank check? I mean, like where I feel, certainly we are on the Ukraine side, but we have our own problems here and an escalating budget deficit. We have to, out of lack of a better term, prioritize or triage where the money and where the efforts go, and also is accountability. And will there be an end to this? Is the United States' support something which is going to exacerbate the situation? And will there be, and will there be an end? I mean, we want there to be an end. We don't like war. So I don't consider myself an expert in this. I don't quite know what to do. But certainly it's a hot topic for the upcoming presidential election. And we do kind of need closure. I'm not sure that anything else I could add to that. Any words of wisdom from you on that?
Well, I mean, our country, the UK, is about, I don't know how many times it fits in the US, hundreds of times probably, the whole country. And yet we put in at least a fifth of what you put in into the Ukraine. I think partly the reason that we put in so much money is the thought that if we don't stop him at Ukraine, then it will become your war and our war. So, you know, then you will be spending big bucks, however much you want to fight it, you know, and think, well, you know, we need the money for this or for our hospitals or for our roads. You won't have any of them if Putin nukes the US. So you've got to look at it on quite a broad palette, really.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. And really, are there any winners in the situation? In a war, there's going to be unfortunate circumstances, unfortunate outcomes, and a lot of hindsight. I just hope we can try to get along. That's the most important thing. That's the best I can say. It's a tricky situation, not something I really like to talk about, but I think we have to, and it's going to be a hot topic in the election. It already is, but it's going to start getting hotter. Adam, here on
I was just going to say there are no winners in a world war, and if you watch War Games with Matthew Broderick, you'll see the reason why. Tic-tac-toe.
I would definitely agree. Adam, here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, broadcasting out of Marion, OH, to the world as we know it. And Nick CJ from Wales is my guest today. Before we go over some tech stories with news and views, Nick, did you have any interesting anecdotes or tidbits you'd like to share with our listeners? You usually have a story or two to share with us.
I haven't got anything at the moment, but I've got a question. Why are you called the Buckeye State?
And the Buckeye, I believe, is like a state plant. And there's also the food, the Buckeyes, that you can eat. I don't personally care for them. It's kind of peanut butter and chocolate concoction, but it's something that people do eat. And I guess it kind of sounds nice. And, of course, we have the Ohio State Buckeyes football team and a lot of companies with the word Buckeye in them. I guess that's the main reason. Our state bird is the Cardinal, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, in baseball, we have the St. Louis Cardinals, the Phoenix Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, which used to be the St. Louis Cardinals. These football teams change their cities so often, I can't keep track of them. But the Cardinals are pretty beautiful birds, so that also has part of our identity. And something else about this state is those who have noticed, during the month of February, sometimes we get four seasons in the same week. We get four seasons during the year, but sometimes we get them consolidated into the course of several days. That's all part of the fun here of living in the Midwestern United States of America. Okay, so electric vehicles, Nick, that's a common topic, and I have a Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid myself. And for many years, we've talked about hydrogen-powered cars. Article in Tech News World: can hydrogen-powered cars leave EVs, electronic vehicles, in the rear view? Of course, you drive along, Nick, you see a lot of Teslas on the road, and they laugh when they see a gas station. They laugh when they see an oil change place because they don't go to those places. No gas, no oil, no fossil fuel-based engine. I would say Teslas are a bit trendy, and a lot of people like myself have hybrids. I think the idea that when you brake, you don't waste energy, you actually transfer it to the batteries is a very good one. Hybrids do get usually at least 40 miles per gallon. I get 50 or 60. Under the right conditions, they do better in the warm weather, which I've certainly noticed. So the sometimes mild winter we've had has been good for my gas mileage. What's the general feeling, Nick, in your neck of the woods about electronic vehicles, hybrid vehicles? all these charging stations and maybe even the idea of using hydrogen or some other alternate fuel to get you around town?
We've got quite a few people that like batteries, but of course I live in a very remote part of Wales. We have the statistic is that there are more sheep than people in Powys, the county that I live in, spelled Powys. And yeah, we've got more sheep than people, so we've got a lot of B roads, and smaller than that. We've got no charging infrastructure really in central Wales, so if you've got an electric car, you're a bit stuck. You know, you can't charge it. If you live in a city, you can't charge it because we have what do you call them, walkways, pavements outside our houses sometimes, which you can't obviously just drape cables across to charge them, which means you've then got to go to a commercial place to charge. Our electricity is very expensive here. It's at least 25 pence a unit. So I don't know what you charge for a unit, a kilowatt hour over there.
Typical cost 20. Is 15 cents, but the fast charging stations are more money, from my understanding. So you would be better just to build a fast charging station at your house or live in a complex, go to an office where they provide them at a discount or even for free. So that the cost of energy certainly is a big part of it, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And also then the sort of the copper, if you're in a remote area like we are, the copper wire that's required to get from one place to another, which has to be obviously very large diameter to be able to carry the amount of current that's needed for fast charging, is horrendous. I think the hybrid is possibly the way forward. I did see a very good joke article about somebody in 2035 selling the petrol engine as an alternative to the battery car, and sort of saying, you know, what about this petrol engined car, because it's half the weight of a battery car, you don't have to dig up half the planet in order to make it, it's fully recyclable at the end of its life, and it drives on fossil fuels that we've already got sitting in the ground. So it was a sort of inverse argument about it, and it does make you wonder where we're going with this electric idea. I think the hybrid is one way forward. In Radnor, which is about 20 miles from me, we have a local firm that is developing hydrogen engines and has been for probably 15 years. They've been building a little tiny sort of one person mini car that was powered by hydrogen. I've also been reading in the last week about the problems with hydrogen. Hydrogen storage is a sort of security problem in the fact that it is so flammable. So hydrogen generators at source would be the best, you know, so you can actually pump water into it and pump hydrogen out of it. But who knows? I mean, the nicest thing would be if we could just put water in our cars and they had their own little hydrogen plant in and converted it to hydrogen. But I don't know what the way forward is, especially with the different areas that we have. I've got a house in a town called Hereford, and the parking is the opposite side of the road to the house. So it's an urban development, and the parking is the other side of the road. So there's no way that living there you could charge your car. You'd have to go to a public place and pay a premium. So I don't know. How many miles can you do on your battery on your hybrid, Adam?
Yeah, my understanding is it can go 20 or 30 miles without gas if you can drive in EV mode only. Normally it just goes back and forth. It'll say on the dashboard EV when it's exclusively on battery, and you can see the mileage meter creep up as it goes on battery only, but normally it just drives on gas, and the battery may help some of the propulsion, and it charges the battery as it drives, and also with the regenerative braking. When you brake the car, it charges a battery instead of wasting energy, which I think is just ingenious. But bottom line is it gets good mileage, and the battery is warranted for, I think, 100,000 miles. Of course, the expense of replacing those is prohibitive, kind of like buying a whole new car. But I'll be concerned about that when that battery expires. So for now, it's a decent car. I would say with Hyundai, they don't do a very good job servicing the cars after the sale. The dealers are kind of clueless, but they are very reliable cars, so that is the important part, as long as nothing goes wrong. And they are comfortable, a lot of cargo room. So the car is versatile in that it'll carry passengers, certainly four adults, comfortably. A lot of cargo space, and it handles pretty well. So and it's very comfortable, heated seats, good radio. Not a bad car whatsoever for a reasonably affordable kind of a price. Honda and GM have been developing hydrogen cars in a partnership. Toyota has developed a unique hydrogen engine that will run more reliably on hydrogen. That's a hard word to say. You think for a chemistry major, somebody who saw H as the first entry on the periodic table, that I could pronounce hydrogen better, but it's not an easy word to say. So anyway, it'll run more reliably. It's from Toyota, and they're always at the forefront as they introduced the first popular hybrid car, of course, the Prius, and my car is a lot like the Prius. Anyway, this Toyota runs reliably on hydrogen, more so than a converted gas engine, but it does fall short in performance versus the fuel cell approach. One issue, though, and again, this came up when electric cars first became popular, is there are very few places to refuel your hydrogen car. 58 currently in the United States. 57 are in California. Not sure where the other one is, but I don't think it's in Marion, let's put it that way. But there are 111,000 gas stations in the United States, and lots of them in Marion, and lots in the great state of Ohio. And 53,000 charging locations for Teslas and other electric vehicles at the end of 2022. They're estimating that at the end of 2030, there will be 4,300 hydrogen fuel stations. So bottom line is, this is emerging technology. It certainly has many advantages, but they are still in the very beginning stages. So again, we'll just find out. And every day that we take a look at this news story, certainly things will change just a little bit. But that's all the fun of following technology. You know, Nick, in the 11 years or so we've known each other and worked together, we've seen a lot of things change. In fact, maybe just ask you right now while I got you here, asking all these candid questions. What do you think are the top one or two things in technology that have changed in the dozen or so years that you and I have done business together?
VHS tapes, Betamax tapes, DVDs, CDs. My kids, one's 30, one's nearly 40, neither of them own a CD or a DVD player. I've still got a collection of vinyl and a vinyl player. But then you get funny things like vinyl's just come back in. You know, where did that come from? You know, everybody, if you're a real hipster, you've got your vinyl. I've got albums that are probably worth hundreds of pounds, original pressings of vinyls. But yeah, things we've seen change. Micro drives, mini CDs and DVDs, cassette tapes have disappeared in our time. Floppy disks. I had to get a floppy disk adapter the other day so I could read some data that I had on a floppy disk that I'd got sold.
So we've seen the retirement or fading into the sunset of several types of technology, things like CDs and VHS tapes and DVDs that seemed to be all the rage a generation or so ago. But, you know, things change, and also the more things change, the more they stay the same. With vinyl coming back, we do know that vinyl is cool, and the sound is just better. Nothing really can surpass the analog sound of the needle in the groove. You can't do that with digital sound. Digital sound doesn't wear like a record. Every time you play a record, the grooves get a little more worn out. But you just hear instruments you don't normally hear with the digital sound. It just seems cleaner, seems more natural. And if you don't like a record, you could always use it for a Frisbee. Or there are alternative uses for those devices. Now, in the UK, Nick, I'm sure just like you have there here in the United States, we have streaming services, services where you pay to be able to watch things on your smart TV. I recently, this is something I just forgot to ask you about last time. I was going to ask you about this off air, but I'll just ask you this on the air. I'm going to digress, but it reminds me, I'm a big fan of the show Frasier, as you probably know. The old Frasier and the new Frasier. Have you watched the new Frasier? Are you a fan of the show Frasier like I am, or do you not like the show at all?
I quite like it.
Oh,
quite
good.
Like it.
Perfect.
I've not seen the new one. I've seen the old one. And Kelsey Grammer, I've seen him in lots of films. He's very funny.
Yeah, you would agree. Outstanding actor.
Yes.
Well, the other actor, of course, is Nicholas Lyndhurst, who I understand is a legend there in the UK. And he, I'd not heard of him previously. He is very well known there, not as well known here. And he starred as Frasier's co-worker and longtime friend in the new Frasier, where he goes back to Boston and teaches at Harvard and gets reconnected with his son. His former wife Lilith was on one episode, and his nephew, Niles and Daphne's son David, was a regular, and Freddie's firefighting friends were also on the show. Freddie becoming more like his grandpa than the Freddie from the previous installment of Frasier, who's more like his father and his uncle Niles. Anyway, Nicholas Lyndhurst, star of the show Only Fools and Horses, which was on a long, long time, and I actually did watch the show because I became a very big fan of Nicholas Lyndhurst. I felt similar to Niles, just hilarious, a natural. The chemistry with Frasier was outstanding. Are you a fan, Nick, of Nicholas Lyndhurst? Of course, you like his name. You're both named Nick. Anything you can tell us about the guy? I'm sure you've heard of him. You've seen some of his shows. Are you a fan, as I am, and feel he is an outstanding actor and somebody who would fit in perfectly with the new Frasier?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's done lots of shows over here, and I didn't realize that he was in the new Frasier and that he was that big. But he's Only Fools and Horses here is the show. I mean, it's the show that everybody can refer to. His name in that was Rodney, and his brother Del Boy always used to say, "Rodney, you plonker," which was his favorite phrase. There's a classic. We have a very different sense of humor over here, but one character out it. His name was Rodney, and one character throughout the whole of Only Fools and Horses always called him Dave rather than Rodney. And he said to him, "Why'd you call me Dave?" He said, "Because that's your name." He said, "It's not, it's Rodney." He said, "Well, is that an alias or what?" Because he was convinced his name was Dave. But yes, very funny comedic actor.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the streaming services. Like, I actually paid to get Paramount Plus, which is one of the services that where you can watch shows, full series, The Love Boat, I believe they have, and of course, my beloved Frasier, both the old Frasier and the new Frasier. I figured it was worth plunking down a few dollars a month because I was such a fan of the show, and I think it was worth it. Again, I'd not heard of Nicholas Lyndhurst, but understood he was a legend there in the UK, and I forgot to talk to you, Nick, about that last time, but not surprisingly, you are a pretty big fan. I would encourage you to watch the new Frasier, as Nicholas Lyndhurst is a co-star, fellow psychology professor at Harvard with Frasier. He seems to be more interested in his cat, in drinking, sometimes even even during the day, and in general being kind of a sarcastic, wise guy, a bit like myself, than being a psychology professor. So I think if you do watch that program, you will find it quite appealing. And I went ahead and got a trial of BritBox, where you can watch many British shows here in the States, because I wanted to watch Only Fools and Horses, and it was really cool seeing Nicholas Lyndhurst. He has the same hairstyle. He has never changed that style. The same face, just 40 years younger, and the same voice. And just even as a man in his early 20s, a brilliant actor, you could tell the potential that this guy has. And he's an absolute natural. So, again, I once again make the soft pitch. If you're a fan of Frasier, do watch the new show, as not only are Frasier's son and nephew amusing, Freddie's firefighting friends are great. Lilith and Roz make an appearance in one episode each. There is a beautiful young lady who plays Freddie's platonic friend and roommate. She is a bartender at a bar that Nicholas Lyndhurst's character, whose name is Alan Cornwell, you call him Corny for short, along with Frasier, like to go and have a brewski or other adult beverage or two. Also, the chairwoman of the department, a lovely lady named Olivia Finch, also on the program. So I'd not heard of her either, but also quite impressed. But again, what we heard about Nicholas Lyndhurst, definitely he met all of the expectations. And as Nick mentions, his program called Only Fools and Horses, and I would assume the show being the title is because their last name was Trotter, and they were kind of foolish, and trotters are horses, so I guess that is where that came from. It's a legendary program in the UK, and I did enjoy watching the episodes. It was on a long time and had many many cast adjustments, so always nice to see these actors kind of going into a bit of a different role and different times of their life, but still not losing that edge and that wonderful timing. So, as my mama used to say, Nick, time flies when you're having fun. We got 2 or 3 minutes left. So before I digressed and talked about Nicholas Lyndhurst and Frasier, which I, again, forgot to do last show, and that's my fault, the streaming services. I'm reading here an article that YouTube TV climbs to fourth among U.S. pay TV services, behind Charter, Comcast, and DirecTV. You know, we talked about changes in technology, Nick, and in addition to things like CDs and DVDs, and of course, VHS tapes becoming older technology, and interestingly, vinyl records coming back into the fold, the streaming services have pretty much taken over a lot of the source for what people watch on TV, less of the broadcast TV and more of these services. And like myself, if you really like a program or you want to see all 10 years of a series that you like to watch, you don't mind paying a few dollars a month to get these services. And I would imagine it's about the same there. That's something that would pretty much apply in Europe like it does here in the States. There are many options for watching shows, and broadcast TV, obviously, at a lack of a better term, sucks compared to what it was like during our childhoods, and that these streaming services are pretty much the way to go for a lot of people, and the cost isn't really too bad.
No, I subscribe to Disney Plus, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Netflix, all of those I subscribe to, but I, because of my dyspraxia, I tend to watch TV while I'm working, which sounds, you know, contraindicatory, but I find that if there's a film or something playing on one of my three screens, that keeps me entertained enough that I can code and do things sensibly on the other screens. So I'm watching films all day, every day. So I need at least four streaming services to do that.
Yep, not too much different here. I will follow Facebook or watch TV while I'm working, or maybe just work, or maybe just find something interesting on Facebook to use up my time. Also, gotten back into playing Scrabble, which I've been doing online. There are many outlets for that also. You don't need to buy a game. You don't need to join a Scrabble club. You don't even have to get dressed. You can literally sit in bed and play the game on your laptop or your phone. And yes, folks, I've done that. So on that note, Nick, CJ, thank you again for being with us, for sharing some laughs, talking about some less pleasant topics in the world, but I think they were important to talk about, and also your opinion, which is quite valuable, on the goings-on, news and views in the world of technology. Adam again. Thank you for listening here to The Talking Place. And if you'd like to send me an email, again, comments, complaints, suggestions, or just to say, hi, Adam, how are you doing? You're a great way to spend 45 minutes of time when I have nothing better to do. The email is adam@wwgh1071.com.